Thank you, girl. Today we are looking at chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, and we are looking at the first 29 verses. And the theme here is David saved the city of Keilah. Our study for today can be categorized into four sessions. The first one relates to David rescuing Keilah from the Philistines. The second part deals with the Lord's warning and escape from Keilah. The third section of the study is about Jonathan coming to encourage David. Finally, the study concludes with the Ziphites informing Saul about David and David's narrow escape. This study therefore illustrates the principle that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. It is in Psalm 34, verse 19. It talks about many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Verse 20 says, he keeps all his bones, that none of them is broken. Shall we proceed with the study as we look at David rescuing Keilah from the Philistines? 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Here in verse 1, David was told that the Philistines were fighting against Keilah and that they were robbing their treasure floors. Keilah means fortress. Therefore, what verse 1 signifies is that taking refuge in Christ as our fortress involves being at war against our flesh, denoted by the Philistines. In the Bible, a threshing floor is a flat, hard surface used to separate edible grain from inedible husk and chaff. Because of the intense labor and wind-swept separation involved, it serves as a powerful biblical metaphor for the Lord's judgment. The threshing floor therefore represents the suffering we go through from the hand of the Lord or the judgment of the Lord. This implies that the Philistines robbing the threshing floors of those in Keilah means that when we are of the flesh, we are robbed of the need to go through the Lord's judgment. We all naturally do not want to suffer. This means that living according to the flesh, that is the flesh, symbolized by the Philistines, robs us of the need to suffer. That was what was happening to Caleb. However, if we have taken refuge in Christ, then we are enjoined to suffer, just as our Lord suffered for our sake. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In verse 2, David inquired of the Lord whether to go to the rescue of the Israelites in Keilah or not. The Lord responded that David should go and destroy the Philistines to save those in Keilah. Verse 2 signifies that it is through the inquiring of the Lord through his word that we come to know that we must fight the fight of faith against our flesh to save our lives. We must also realize that it is not all those who come to inquire of the Lord who are given to know what the Lord is saying. It is only the Lord's elect, signified by David, who are given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 and 4. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. As we can see in verse 3, David's men were afraid of confronting the Philistines in Keilah. This implies that they were not spiritually matured like David. These men were new to the church of the Lord's elect and were, as we were, still holding to the mentality that we cannot win the war against our flesh, which is symbolized by the Philistines. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 says, And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? For the sake of these immature believers, David inquired of the Lord again and came to the same conclusion that the Lord would grant them victory over the Philistines or their flesh. He did not rebuke them for their unbelief, but was very patient with them. We must therefore be patient with our brothers and sisters in the faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. David inquiring from the Lord again also shows us one of the principles that help us to be guided when studying the word of the Lord. The number two means a witness. And therefore, David inquiring from the Lord for the second time implies that we must have a witness when we study the word of the Lord. In other words, we are to have at least a second scriptural witness to establish a scriptural truth or doctrine. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So the Lord saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Through faith in the word of the Lord, David and his men went to Keilah and defeated the Philistines, thus delivering the inhabitants of Keilah from the hands of the Philistines. What this is showing us is that through faith in the word of the Lord, we shall overcome our flesh. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 34. What shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, in fight and to flight the armies of the aliens. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. As indicated in the previous study, Abiathar, which means my father is great, was the only one who escaped from the slaughter of the priest at Nob to join David and those with him. His escape represents our escape from the church system of this world or Babylon to join the church of the Lord's elect or the heavenly Jerusalem. An ephod, on the positive note, signifies the sacred priestly garment. As we are aware, garments in the Bible represents our righteousness, which is of the Lord. In other words, our righteousness is the Lord's righteousness. Exodus chapter 28, verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, in Exodus chapter 28, verses 6, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Jeremiah 33:16 says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So our righteousness is the Lord's righteousness that has been imputed on us. On a negative note, the ephod represents an idol. This indicates that self-righteousness is an idol of our hearts, which prevents us from knowing the Lord. Judges chapter 8, verse 27. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went there, a warring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon, to his house. Judges chapter 17, verse 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods and laid an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. All is showing the negative aspect of ephod. But in this context, we are looking at the positive aspect. Going back to verses, we can see that Abiathar had not put on the ephod yet after his escape from Nob. This implies that when we come to the church of the Lord's elect, we were not yet clothed in Christ's righteousness. Since in Babylon, we believed in our own righteousness. However, Abiathar having the ephod in his hand when he came to Keilah in verse 6 signifies that coming to the assembly of the Lord's elect brings us closer to Christ's righteousness, or it is at hand. In other words, Christ's righteousness is within our reach to pay. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Divine warning and escape from Keilah. 1 Samuel 23, verses 7 and 8. And it was through Samuel that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has delivered him into my hands, and he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war and go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. As we can see, the Lord has raised Saul and his men as his instruments of judgment of David and his men. Saul and his men symbolize the people of this world, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon, whom the Lord uses sometimes as his instrument of judgment against the Lord's elect. In the Bible, the Lord, on some occasions, used some foreign nations to judge his people, as shown in the following verses. Isaiah 10, 5 and 6 says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger the staff in thy hand is my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread down them down like the mare of the streets. In the mind of Saul and his men, they thought they had cornered David and his men and that there was no way of escape. Sometimes we come to situations that we cannot figure out how we can get out of them. In our desperation, we forgot that it is the Lord who is in charge. The Lord has given us assurance through his word that we should not fear whatever comes our way in this life, because he is the one in charge. Isaiah 54 verse 7 again, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Luke 10, 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9 to 13. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring here the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant has said? O Lord, God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whatsoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go forth. As indicated earlier, the ephod represents the Lord's righteousness, which is imputed on us, his elect. David asking Abiathar the priest to bring the ephod in verse 9 means David appealing to the righteousness of the Lord to show him the way forward. Verses 10 to 13 show us that as we come before the Lord in our desperation, the Lord hears us and show us a way out, said that we are able to bear whatever trouble we find ourselves in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to 13. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Comparing scripture with scripture, we can see that verses 10 to 13 of this study are the same as Psalm 107, where we find ourselves in trouble such that we have no way out. In our desperation, we cry out to the Lord, and in his mercy, the Lord brings us to our safe heaven. Psalm 107, verse 25 to 31. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he brings them into their desired heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Jonathan encourages David. First Samuel chapter 23, verse 14 to 18. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul would come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the wood. And Jonathan's Saul's son arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul, my father, knows." And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. In our time of trial, we need to be strengthened by our brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we see Jonathan coming to Ziph to encourage David's hand in God. This walk with Christ is a lonely walk. It's a lonely journey. And therefore, we need to be strengthened in Christ. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, he was in deep agony as he prayed and was strengthened by an angel. This angel represents us, his elect, as we encourage one another in the Lord, especially during times when we are under the judgment of the Lord. Luke chapter 22, verse 43 to 44. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Our Lord Jesus specifically told Peter that after he was converted, he should strengthen his brothers, which emphasizes the fact that we are to strengthen one another in the Lord. Luke 22, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The fact that David and Jonathan made a covenant in verse 18 before the Lord signifies that we are in a covenant relationship with each other as the Lord's elect to strengthen one another, both in good times and in bad times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." In essence, what every joint supplies in the body of Christ is to build each other up. Ephesians 4, verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The Zivites informed Saul and David's narrow escape. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 19 to 23. "Then came up the Zivites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, 'Does not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand.' And Saul said, 'Blessed be you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his hand is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he deals very subtly. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Ziphites means smelters. Hence, they represent all those that the Lord uses as instruments of his judgment. As instruments of the Lord's judgment, it is no wonder that these Ziphites once went to report to Saul, the hiding place of David and his men, to put more fire on the David and his men. These Ziphites are likened to us when we were in Babylon, when we were more interested in pleasing our leaders and persecuting the Lord's elect. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and all and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Colossians 3:22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Here in verse 21, Saul was blessing the Lord for his compassion towards him and for being told by the Ziphites where David and his men were. This signifies that there are many who please the Lord with their mouth, but their hearts are far away from him. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 24 and 25. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Moab, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into the rocks and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Although David and his men did not know the Ziphites were looking for him and his men to hand them over to Saul, the Lord guided the steps of David and his men to lead them out of Ziph to the wilderness of Moab. Through the guidance of the Lord, our steps are ordered, such that we are kept from being harmed by anyone. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We must remember that when Cain killed his brother Abel, the Lord came and told him that as part of his punishment, he shall be a fugitive and a vagabond or a wanderer. In response, Cain told the Lord that his punishment was too much and that anyone who finds him would kill him. To this end, the Lord put a mark on Cain such that no one could harm him as he wanders from place to place. If the Lord could protect Cain through a mark on his forehead, how much more could the Lord protect us, his beloved, who cry to him day and night? He will surely take care of us, just as he protected David from the hand of Saul and his men. Genesis chapter 4, verse 12 to 15. When thou till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth and from my face. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that anyone that finds me shall slay me. Then the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slay Cain vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any find him should kill him. As the Lord's elect, we also carry on our forehead a mark by the Lord, such that no one can harm us in this life. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, 3 to 5. And the glory of the Lord, of the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub. Thereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the forehead of the man, that sign and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Last portion of today's study, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 26 to 29. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away from for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David, and his men ran about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Salamakeloth. And David went up from there and went and dwelt in stronghold in Engedi. In verse 26, we see Saul and his men on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. It demonstrates the gulf between the Lord's elect, now brothers and sisters in the church system of this world of Babylon. Coming from Babylon to the church of the firstborn requires climbing a mountain. This mountain is the false doctrines in our heavens, which acts as a blockade, which separates the Lord's children from the children of the devil. As we can see from the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, there is a great gulf between the Lord's elect and the people of this world, including our brothers and sisters of this world. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 to 26. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this fire. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou, thy lifetime, received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from there. Verses 27 to 29 also shows us how the Lord diverted the attention of Saul and his men to pursue after the Philistines instead of David and his men. It emphasizes the fact that the Lord knows how to take care of his own, and has assured us in his word that none can plug us out of his hand. John chapter 10, verse 26, 28 to 30. Now give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man plug them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to plug them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We thank the Lord for him involving us in his wonderful plan of his salvation. May his name be praised forever. Amen.